Tonight, James stores his cocaine in a surgery patient's nose. Mike tells you all the nice things that weed can do for you. And Jorn is hiding on the windowsill.
God, this is Couch Potato Mike from CouchPotatoMike.com and YouTubes and the interwebs and everywheres.
Hey, this is James from SurvivalBug.com. How are you doing this morning, Couch Potato Mike?
I'm a potato. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Happy post-Thanksgiving.
Yep, happy post-Thanksgiving, yeah.
Wow, the levels look amazing today.
Despite the fact that I can't hear jack shit in my headphones.
We'll be right back.
All right, and now the levels look tiny again because we're using the microphone.
Wah, 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 wah.
I'm not even going to re-record the opening intro. I'll just combine the tracks.
That'll sound great.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably will. They'll be like, oh, it sounds like an old episode, and then it'll sound not like an old episode.
I'm still not hearing anything out of my headphones.
I do.
I can barely hear you out of my right ear.
Yeah. I still...
Whatever. Just keep going.
Good old, matters. Good old gorilla podcasting.
Yay!
You can hear that, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
That's all the way up. That's all, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that'll work. Yeah, good job there, Homestar.
Yeah, we missed a week and came back as bumbling buffoons. Good yep. job, usses.
Yeah, we completely forgot how the fuck any of this shit works.
If you can't tell, I am slightly under the weather, hence why I didn't do a podcast last week. I didn't have a voice to do one with. I did think about being a complete asshole, though, and using like the phone to read my text and be like, hello, this episode is brought to you by Stephen Hawking. Hello, good dear Survival Punk listeners. Have good day.
Have good day.
Have good day.
He doesn't speak like a stereotypical Native American.
Oh, I was going with, like, bad Russian.
Have good day.
Have good day.
Like an old country.
Like an old country. Yeah.
Indeed, sports car.
I think Jordan the Cat took a stinker somewhere.
Oh, Jeebus.
Yeah, so we're a hot mess this morning, and I've got a fun episode that I originally planned to do an article on, but a podcast it will make a good one of. So, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about drugs. And the apocalypse.
Damn right we are. Before we get into that, though, we've got some housekeeping to clear up.
We have housekeeping.
There's
kind of a mess in here.
Yeah. There's a phone number. You can call this phone number, and you can leave questions, comments, concerns, and you can drunk dial us. Yes. If you get drunk at the bar and you just want to call someone, you won't talk to us, but you can leave a hilarious voicemail.
Yep. The number is 1-888-TACO-BELL.
The number is... area code 615-657-9104. Again, that is 615-657-9104. At some point, I think I had to upgrade my web server for the blog and podcast, all that. And it said it comes with an 800 number. So at some point, that number will change from the 615-657-9104 to 1-800 something or the other, whatever number I can get. Apparently,
hell, there's too many levels at survival just to get. You wouldn't even get the punk in there.
What a SRVLPNK.
Oh, you've thought about this, have you?
License plate, actually.
Ah,
how many letters? SRVLPNK. That would make a phone number, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I bet it's taken though. Because, I mean, the combination of numbers, letters, like, you know.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment, folks. After he hacks up the other lung.
At your, if you're at home right now, just dial that and see what happens. Other housekeeping. There is a Survival Punk Army. It's Christmas time. If you can't afford it, totally understand. If you do have it and you can join the Survival Punk Army, it would mean a lot to Mike and I.
It would.
It would.
Because the Survival Punk Army wants you!
That's correct. And, you know, the money goes into paying the web servers and paying the ridiculously overpriced email list, which I'm thinking about changing because it's ridiculously overpriced.
Yeah.
But anyway, it would help out. Any other... Oh, one more bit before we get on to the show. You like free stuff? I like free stuff.
I like free stuff.
If you want a free Survival Punk sticker, head over to iTunes. Or Stitcher. I mean, either or, really. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes and or Stitcher.
A good one.
A good one, a bad one, whatever. We just need more reviews. Leave us a review.
I'd rather have a good one, though.
You know what? If you hate our show so much and you listen to it to even hear us say there's free stickers and why you would want a sticker from someone you hate, I can't understand. But if you do,
go over to iTunes, leave a 5-star, give us 5 stars, and leave whatever review you want.
Yeah, leave us a rating and review. Send me an email, james@survivalpunk.com, with the name you use to leave the review with, and your shipping address, and I'll toss one in the mail, and you'll get a sticker.
And if you've got a problem with me, send your complaints to couchpotatomike@couchpotatomike.com. I haven't gotten an email in that thing in months.
Really? Maybe, well... I don't think I ever even configured spam, so you should be getting all of the spam and everything, too.
Oh, that's holding that up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Don't take that away.
But I want to. It's yeah. So pretty.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Free sticker, do that. And I think that's all. There's no Teespring campaign right now.
Nope.
I ran it already, so you should have got it for Christmas presents if you wanted it. Then probably won't run another T-shirt campaign until the new year.
Happy birthday to you.
Me, actually, yeah. Wait a second. When is it? Oh! Everyone, make sure you send Mike an email at catchpotatomike@catchpotatomike.com and tell him happy birthday.
Yep.
Because when this comes out, it will be either his birthday or the day after.
It'll probably be the day after my birthday. I'm turning the big 3-9.
Right. So, let's see. We celebrated his birthday yesterday, and if you follow disc golf at all, Mike got his very first ace, which is a hole-in-one if you do golf.
I got an ace, dude.
You did.
I was in a tournament, and I got a fucking hole-in-one. I damn near shit my fucking pants.
He did. Unfortunately, we're cheap fuckers, so we didn't throw into the ace pool.
Ah!
Otherwise, Mike would have won a whole bunch of dollar bills, like a stripper.
Damn it. I need stripper money.
You do.
No, me. No, I don't need money for strippers. I just need the
stripper. Oh, okay.
No, I ain't stripping, dude.
I need stripper money bachelor party.
Ain't nobody wanting to see this naked. I just need the money. All the ones. Make it rain!
Actually... When we go to the strip club for my bachelor party, maybe we should drive out of the state, like across the border, because the Tennessee strip clubs have insanely stupid rules.
Oh, wow. Which one has
which country? Let's go to Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, their rules down there are really lax. No, which state around here has the best stripper policies?
If you know that answer, Alar Kalo, please drop us an email. I bet Georgia's pretty chill. I don't know. Anyway, something to research. Let's get into the drugs. You know what? I would love for this episode to have a special song, but I kind of think so. I've only ever asked for permission to use a song like once. And if I use a Marilyn Manson song, I bet his nerd people would come find me. Here's a song called I Don't Like the Drugs, But the Drugs Like Me. And the chorus is sang by like a huge black gospel choir, which just sounds totally ironic, but amazing.
That is fucked up.
Yeah. So just imagine, listeners, just imagine that song was playing because I'm sure I would get a cease and desist if I actually tried to use it.
God, my head went all the way back to the 80s and Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, I like that song too. Quit turning, microphone. Quit turning.
Well, it's loose.
It is loose.
It's turning as I speak.
Yeah.
I'm watching it turn. There you go. That should tighten the sumbitch up.
We just broke the mic's neck.
For some reason, I can hear in my ear now.
Yeah?
It required turning.
That is unusual.
Technology.
Anyway, first up, that does sound better. The listeners are like, fuck this show, I'm out of here.
The fucking weird, you have to twist shit before it works.
Yeah. So the first drug is the most legal, the easiest to obtain, and, oh my God, super useful, and I wouldn't want to think about life without it.
And virtually everybody consumes it on a daily basis. And that is the wonder drug, caffeine.
You are right. Caffeine comes in a myriad of sources. Pills, powders, energy drinks, coffee.
Soda.
Or
pop if you're up from north. Pat. Coke if you're from the south.
Yeah, everything is Coke in the South.
Yep, even the Pepsi's Coke.
I literally will, if I say, do you want a Coke? And you say, yeah, and I'll ask you what kind. You could say anything that's liquid, like, you want a Coke? Yeah, me, what kind? Oh, chocolate milk. Okay. I don't give a shit.
That's carrying it to a extreme.
I don't give a shit.
Extreme.
Coke is a liquid refreshment to me.
No, Coke is supposed to be a soda. See, and I was born and raised in the South, and I don't even do that.
Yeah, because you're a fucking traitor, you Canadian.
I'm not a fucking... you just call me
you're
a Canadian?
You're a closet Canadian. So, yeah.
Do not oot me on fucking radio.
Caffeine. Caffeine needs to be in your preps, even if you're not like a regular caffeine user.
It's a very tradable commodity.
It's a very tradable commodity. It has situations where having it would benefit you. If you don't use it, taking some caffeine, bam, huge uptake in your abilities. You know, mental clarity jumps up, wakefulness jumps up,
alertness,
energy,
your reflexes,
everything. So it is sort of a catch-22, whereas if you do caffeine all the time, you become sort of desensitized to the effects, so you need more of it, and then you don't perform as well when you don't have it.
I've seen my wife fall asleep after drinking 3 cups of coffee.
Yeah. That's a whole different rabbit hole.
Me, on the other hand, I have a very big caffeine sensitivity.
Right.
Caffeine will get right the fuck on top of me, like, quick. I can't drink too much of it, or I start getting really fucking jittery, and I feel like I'm about to explode.
Right. The Viter Energy mints that we reviewed had a huge effect. Like, I felt the caffeine in it. Mike was bouncing off the roof.
Oh, God.
Those dissolving tongue strips that were minty as well, whose name I don't remember. Like Elite Spec Ops, Elite Ops, something like that, like Tactical Energy Strips, whatever they were. I'll try to find them and link them. They, like 200 milligram on a strip, huge, huge caffeine boost. Something small, compact, easy, you can throw it in your bug out bag. If you're like getting tired while you're bugging out, escaping, invading, take some of this caffeine and you're good to go.
Surprised they haven't put caffeine in a suppository yet.
Are you sure?
Well, I've never heard of it.
I mean,
that would be great. You know, the best part of waking up is caffeine in your butt.
I've heard for weird fringe cancer treatment, coffee enemas.
I've heard of coffee.
They're supposed to be really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Fringe science, whatever you want. Fringe hippie science. It's a whole different category.
Caffeine makes me poop going through the right way, so I don't know what it would do going in backwards.
I've heard that. And to be honest, normally after I finish my first cup of coffee in the morning, I usually take a morning poo. So.
Yeah, it's – well, like at work, if I drink a cup of coffee first thing in the morning, 45 minutes later, I'm in the bathroom taking a dump.
Yeah.
If I don't, it just doesn't happen. Jordan doesn't respond to your patties.
Yeah, he does. He looked at me.
Did he come running?
No.
No, because he's a stuck-up cat.
Cats ignore you. It's what they do.
Not all cats.
Yeah.
Just most of them. Some of them are retarded and think they're dogs.
Yeah. So caffeine. There's no reason not to have some in your preps, in your bug out bag.
You know you're going to need the
pick your
stuff.
Pick your form. Yep. Storing green coffee beans is probably the longest term way to store coffee. You lose shelf life when you roast it, and then you lose shelf life even faster when you grind it. So unground green coffee beans, store the longest, because we know we're going to need coffee and the shit hit the fan.
Oh, yeah. Just be in a well-ventilated area when you finally do roast those sumbitches.
Yeah, they are stinky as shit.
You ran Serenity out of here one time.
I did. I roasted it myself one time and was just sort of sitting here for like 3 days afterwards going, man, that stuff stinks.
Yeah.
We covered in an episode a while ago, instant coffee is supposed to have a long, if not infinite, shelf life.
Huh.
Unopened, of course. Once you open it, moisture gets in, all bets are off. But, you know, within a week or so of opening it, you should be good. So that's – and there's quite a good variety of instant coffee. Like back in the, you know, 80s, 70s, 60s, instant coffee was kind of bland, horrible shit. It has gotten better over the years. And I have found my favorite instant coffee – it's kind of hard to get. If you find it, buy a bunch of it or look online. The Cafe Bustayo Espresso has an instant coffee espresso. Oh, my God.
It's funny you brought that up. I watched the old sitcom, Are You Being Served, which shows from the 70s and 80s. And they had a joke about instant coffee on that the other night. The fucking one dude, Mr. Harmon, he was bringing the manager, Mr. Rumbold, his coffee. He's like, where's my coffee? He's like, oh, the cafeteria is now serving instant in the cup. So far called instant because there's only one instant in which it tastes like coffee.
Yeah. They have made leaps and bounds improvements on instant coffee. So, you know, I would suggest, and I've heard people say that store your coffee in the freezer. I've seen varying things that there's no point in it. I haven't really seen any good, clear, actual scientific evidence that it prolongs the life of it. So green coffee, instant coffee, and then just have your regular coffee for short term. Or sort of the mid-range would be to have whole beans. So like I said, once you sort of half it when you go from green to roasted, and then you half it again
when you go from beans to grounds.
So if you have a combination of, you know, green for your long term and green and instant for your long term storage, whole bean for your sort of midterm storage, and then your normal coffee, you know, just for, you know, super short term. I would say 3 to 6 month storage. You know, to rotate it through, but nothing past that.
And when the apocalypse comes, make sure you have a couple of Starbucks baristas in your colony.
You're damn right. That's the only thing they'll be good for.
Fuck yeah.
Because they'll just give you bad advice. Like, guns are bad. We don't like guns. Meat is bad. Don't eat meat. Shut up, you damn barista. Make my coffee and don't say a word.
I will shoot you and make steaks out of you.
You're damn right.
Let's move along.
We spent a lot of time on that, but I knew some of these will not have long answers. But coffee is good.
Yep. The next thing on the list is something that is near and dear to the hearts and lungs of many Americans out there, including your fiance, and that would be tobacco.
Yeah. Tobacco in its many myriad of forms. Good and bad. Obviously.
You got your dip, you got your chew, you got your cigarettes and your cigars.
Yeah. Tobacco is probably the biggest killer of people, but it has its uses.
It really does.
And not all of them. So it's funny how that all of the best items to barter with during the shit hit the fan are governed by one government agency.
The ATF.
You're right.
Your alcohol, your tobacco, and your firearms.
Yes. All of those will be the best barter items. I really, when I think about the shit that the fan, one of the things that pops in my mind early that's not covered a whole lot by preppers is addicts on withdrawal. I mean, one, you have a whole nation full of people that are addicted to various forms of narcotics, antidepressants.
Oh, God.
You're going to have a bunch of crazy people without crazy meds anymore.
Well, don't worry. They won't last long. That problem kind of solves itself after a while. Am I right?
To some degree. Then you got people setting themselves up as like David Koresh starting compounds all over the country. But anyway, I mean, you're going to have a whole bunch of nicotine is probably, what, top 10, top 5 most addictive substances? Period.
Nicotine.
Bread, heroin, and nicotine. Like, that's the top 3, really.
No, and I've seen studies where they say that nicotine is possibly the most addictive fucking drug on the planet.
Yeah. And I would agree. So, you know,
it's definitely the most prolific addiction possibly on the damn planet.
Yeah. I can easily see people that are super, super nicotine addicted, would be willing to barter for a smoke. Stupid things.
Dude, like, people barter for a smoke this day and age, depending on where the hell you are.
No. What I'm saying, though, is like the things that they would barter would be a huge boot. Like, oh, you got a bag of beans. I got a pack of cigarettes. Yeah, I'll take that deal. I need to smoke.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know, like,
I know a lot of people that take that deal all fucking day long.
Yeah. So not the wisest deal on their part, but it would. Mike, what's the word here?
I don't know. You set me up for failure.
What's my favorite word to use on the podcast?
Survive.
It would behoove you.
Love that, yeah.
To have maybe some tobacco in a form stored. Cigarettes don't actually have a very long shelf life. They are too dry and they go stale. Smokers are,
You know what? I've never seen that stop a fucking smoker.
If they're super nick fitting craving a cigarette, they probably won't give a shit. But under normal circumstances, there is a taste difference from what I can tell. People will not be happy with it.
I've seen motherfuckers dry soggy fucking cigarettes that they find in public ashtrays in the microwave and smoke them anyway, complaining about the taste, but not putting them out until they're down to the butt.
By sea, Mike, of course, means through his own peepers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
I've literally taken fucking cigarettes out of public ashtrays that were in the fucking snow and dried them in the microwave before. Yeah. One of them lit like that. I don't know how it happened, but it came out smoking, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I just grabbed that one and ran outside with it.
Yeah. Congrats to Mike. He has been smoke-free for quite a while now.
Let's see. It was July of 2016 was the last time I had a cigarette, so...
That's...
Oh, going on a year and a half now.
Yeah, very commendable. So besides just barter, though, there are a few medicinal and other benefits to be had from tobacco. Mike brought up a great one earlier when we were in pre-production.
Oh, yeah. Now, tobacco, and I've seen this firsthand, it is great for extracting stingers and basically pulling the toxin out of any extracting stingers from skin and pulling the toxins that come along with being stung by like bees, wasps, shit like that from a person's skin.
Right.
I found this out when my daughter was a toddler. That's also when I found out that she can control swarms of insects.
Yeah. I was going to say before we really So storing tobacco in like maybe those canisters of two-roll tobacco, probably better than storing cigarettes and seeds. I have tobacco seeds actually for medicinal uses.
I've never seen a tobacco seed.
I have some somewhere. I'll show you.
I'll be down.
I have the Hopi Native American tobacco seeds. So probably not necessarily what R.J. Reynolds is growing two blocks away from here, but
yeah,
for medicinal uses.
I used to do tobacco work once upon a time. I was out in the fields. I'd cut down the stalks. I'd stake them. All that good shit.
Yeah. Cigars would probably be a good thing to store. Cigars. Cigars store, like, they tend to have a slightly better shelf life than does a cigarette.
Yeah, but you have to store them properly, though. That's why they fucking invented the humidor.
But even still, though, like, you think a cigarette is already completely dry, so, you know, it's going to go worse faster. A cigar first has to dry out to get to the point where a cigarette is at and then go past towards the bad state. So even not even stored properly You've got more of a leeway there with the moisture content.
Yeah, plus cigars are thicker and they'll hold that moisture in a bit longer.
True.
And it's always preferable to put them in a fucking humidor because that keeps them fresh longer. Because I've smoked an insanely dried out cigar before.
Yeah.
It tries to go up like kindling after a moment. But you know what? Cigars also have another added benefit that I've seen Les Stroud use, and possibly a couple other people. They are great for transporting a fire.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, they are like they're a tender bundle already pre-made that you can smoke.
They would. Maybe not the best idea, but if you found a small colony of honeybees, you could maybe use a cigar to smoke them out. Because if you blow from it, so instead of inhaling, if you blow through it, it causes massive amounts of smoke to come out of the end of it. And if anything, you might get the bees high, and they're just like, fuck it, I'm not fucking with this dude, I'm out of here.
Because beekeepers know that smoke, that's how they keep the bees docile.
Right.
They docilize them by smoking them.
And, you know, smoke them with cigar smoke. Another sort of benefit of, so, nicotine has a sort of mental alertness factor you get as well.
Memory enhancer, yeah.
Memory enhancer, mental alertness, and verbal fluidity. Not necessarily that you need that for the shit hit the fan, but because I've used it with nicotine lozenges before podcasts to have sort of better verbal flow. And you're thinking, well, why would I need better mental acuity and memory and verbal fluidity in the shit hit the fan? If you're bartering, if you're making negotiations, treaties with fellow preppers.
Or if you're trying to bug out in the event of something catastrophic and you need all your faculties about you.
Yeah. And in that case, I tend to think that for those situations, for personal use like that, the lozenges and are probably the best bet. They're controlled dosages. They don't have any of the other harmful chemicals. You're not inhaling hot smoke and damaging your lungs. So the lozenges, the tablets and the gums, and preferably the lozenges. I think they're probably the best bet for that.
And I've seen a lot of times where people that will sleep wearing the nicotine patches will report having much more vivid and lucid dreams. So, and for long distribution, a patch would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it is a metered dosage that, you don't even have to think about there.
And I can only assume that if you are having lucid dreams, you're further into REM sleep, so you'll wake up more refreshed and more mentally alert. So that's another good benefit for the shit hit the fan. Let's move on to a different one. Let's move on to alcohol.
Yep.
Alcohol, once again, barter item.
And speaking of congratulatory for quitting shit, how long has it been for you now?
4 years, I think. Four and a half, four something.
That is fucking outstanding, dude.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you on that.
Definitely was a good thing that I quit that. But
other than drinking, though, alcohol has a hell of a lot of stuff.
Right.
I'll let you handle that.
I definitely won't condone alcohol. It is not evil in and of itself, much like a gun is not evil in and of itself.
You mean condemn.
It's the uses. Condone. I will not condemn them. I will not condone them. It simply is. a good way, there are multiple uses for alcohol. One, as barter, like I said.
Right.
And the way that I think barter is best with alcohol, minis. Those little minis. It's sort of like pocket change to barter with.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having a big bottle of, disgusting Skull vodka, you could have a tiny bottle of Jack Daniels.
Go to your liquor store, and they usually have all the candy things set up by the fucking counter that are just full of tiny little bottles.
Right. And it's sort of like
the ones you'd get in the hotel honor bar or on an airplane.
Yeah. And it's just a perfect size to barter with, because it's like bartering with, a 1 ounce gold coin. How do you buy something small? Do you overpay and here's a whole gold coin? Do you get out 10 snips and snip a corner off? I've heard of people doing that in situations.
That fucking pork fest or whatever the hell it was that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Up north. They would, they have slips of gold and silver and stuff that they will
Laminate the cards?
Yeah, laminate the cards, and that way they pay off in smaller fractions.
Yeah.
Because they don't take U.S. dollars up there.
Yeah, they don't take Federal Reserve notes.
Nope, they do not take the Federal Reserve note, but they take that, and they now take bitcoins.
Yeah. And another good way, well, on the gold thing, instead of getting necessarily gold coins, getting gold chains, because then you could cut them easily and pay in smaller divisible amounts.
Yep.
But yeah, alcohol, having the small ones to barter with, I think is a good idea.
I still think gold is just a money replacement, though. I mean, what other use does it have? Other than, like, money.
It's just a store of value.
Yeah, see?
To barter with. Bigger things of alcohol are good for sanitation things. So, like, if you have a wound, to disinfect the wound, alcohol's good for that. You could use...
The stronger the proof, the better on stuff like that, though.
Exactly. You could use things just like, you know, rubbing alcohol from the stores. And I see there's a place for getting rubbing alcohol. It has uses. But it also has basically poison added to it, so people won't just sit there and drink it. That's the only difference of, like, rubbing alcohol... You know, and Everclear is the government adds poison so people won't drink it.
Yeah. Now, rubbing alcohol can you use to fill a Zippo lighter and it'll work.
Yeah.
I have experimented with that before.
And I'm sure just as well Everclear would work.
Oh, no. Yeah. And I've seen Mike Hawk actually use like a freaking moonshine to fill a Zippo with on an episode of Man, Woman, Wild.
Your cock did what?
Yeah.
The Simpsons. Oh, God. I don't know how they got away with some of those prank calls.
Yeah, I know.
My cunt. Is my cunt here?
Huge ass. Someone check the men's room for a huge ass.
Right.
I love that because that was the episode where there was actually a guy named Huge. I'm Huge Ass. Phone for you.
Oh, yeah. We were just pranking. No, I'm sorry.
This is a prank call that has kind of backfired, so I'm just going to hang up now. Well, better luck next time. What a nice kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So... The higher proof alcohol. So like the Everclears, the higher proof, like vodka, Skull vodka is good to get. It's super cheap. It's pure. It tastes like shit, but it burns. It disinfects, comes in easily storable plastic, stupid bottles. So that's good. I wouldn't necessarily do it myself, but there, if you've ever seen the old Western movies, if you get shot, you get a wound, you take a belt of whiskey, you pour some in the wound, you do what you gotta do.
Yep.
So it does dull the pain. If you've ever seen someone that's just been shit-faced, they're able to basically get shot by a tank and get up and keep going. It makes you almost invincible. So there are multiple uses for alcohol in the shit that's fan. Probably, you know, and disinfecting surfaces, you know, to in any sort of collapse, one of the biggest, you know, ways people die is through sickness, being unsanitary. This would help with that. I was going to say, I wouldn't recommend trying to make your water safe to drink by dumping in some booze. Oh my God. But cleaning the surfaces.
You think this water is pure yet?
Yeah.
I don't know. Add some more of the scotch.
It will help in keeping your water from freeze, though. But only if you're Wisconsin, though. If you're a Wisconsiner, Wisconsinite, Wisconsinian. How do they...
I don't know. They're all a bunch of dumbasses anyway.
If you're a cheesehead.
Yeah, cheesehead.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Alcohol. Definitely one worth having for the shit of the fan.
Members of the Radke cult.
Antibiotics. Let's move on to antibiotics. On this list, I basically removed everything that was a first aid drug because we covered it extensively in the first aid episodes. But I just want to briefly touch on antibiotics. It would behoove you to have them in your kit. You can get them from, you know, the fish antibiotics. They're the same. They're cheap.
We've discussed that so many times, especially on the earlier episodes.
Right. So we don't want to go long on this. I would add to make sure that you store antibiotics you know you're not allergic to.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's always a list of, like, you should store these four antibiotics. Well, if you're allergic to...
always on that list.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that are allergic to penicillin.
Well, as somebody in this, as somebody who actually has to... because, you know, I'm a customer service agent at a mail-order pharmacy. And I have to get all these patients' information when we're filling a new prescription for them so we can mail it out. And one of the things that we ask is, do you have any allergies? And the three most common things that I've seen people allergic to are sulfa drugs, sulfa antibiotics, penicillins, and codeine.
Yeah.
I mean, codeine doesn't have anything to do with this, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, thanks for listing that, because I was trying to remember. I'm not positive, but I think I'm actually allergic to the sulfa antibiotics. I've taken amoxicillin as a child and sort of later, never had any problems with amoxicillin. Took a sulfa something for, I had a MRSA infection one time.
Wow.
And they gave me sulfa somethings for it. And I got really sick and I had to stop taking them. It was a MRSA boil. I thought it was a spider bite, turned out to be a MRSA boil from scratching a bug bite. Don't do that, guys. If I would have disinfected my hands with Skull vodka, I wouldn't have had that problem.
Yep. Now it goes sulfa, then penicillin, then codeine, in that order.
Right. So make sure you store one that you're not allergic to. Maybe if you have a little bit for someone else, that would not be bad, but don't put all your preps in something that you can't take.
You know what I find ironic? And occasionally I'll encounter somebody that's allergic to Benadryl.
Wow.
And it's not like it only ever happened once. I've encountered that a few times. People allergic to Benadryl, which is completely ironic.
It is.
Allergic to the allergy medicine.
Right. That's actually kind of interesting. So that's it for the antibiotics. Store them. Store ones you can take. And, you know, store a variety of them.
Yep. Next on the list is Motarc.
Kratom.
Oh, I thought you spelled that backwards.
No.
I prefer Motarc.
Kratom.
Actually, that sounds like a villain on a freaking Mortal Kombat. Motarc wins fatality.
Oh, I was going to say Kratom sounds kind of like a Lord of the Rings creature or something, like a high elf commander or something, like Kratom.
Oh, my God.
Or an orc or something. I don't know.
But what the hell's kratom?
Kratom is an herb from, you know, sort of the India, Taiwan. It's another drug from over there.
Yeah, it's Eastern medicine.
Yeah. It is, it has some very similar properties to, opioids, but it's not an opioid. It has a lot of very interesting properties. Some people are using it to get off of, like opioids, like, heavy painkillers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I don't really know that they're getting addicted to the kratom, but they're basically supplementing one drug for another. For people that have like chronic pains.
Right.
Kratom is probably a better solution than, you know, narcotics.
For some reason in my mind, I was trying to equate it to the whole heroin to methadone thing, but I'm not sure if that's apt.
People are getting off of methadone with kratom.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, basically you get off of heroin with methadone, but then you're stuck on methadone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's getting off of one thing to another thing. So kratom is probably a better substitution for, you know, methadone. It's probably healthier for you than that. It is usually taken, so it's a leaf, and they dry it and they powderize it. You can either make a tea with it that some people use that has some soothing effects. Oh yeah, it helps with anxieties too. Has a lot of good benefits, sort of pain, anti-anxiety, in certain doses and certain strains, because much like sort of marijuana, there are like a million billion strains of it, like, you know, red something, white, you know, Buddha. It has a billion different strains, and some of the different strains have different properties. Could probably be an entire episode. I'm not an expert. I've tried it once or twice. Not an expert.
Kratom?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Some places it is illegal. Some places it is not illegal. The FDA is kind of going to war on it because, you know, they got to go to war on something, right?
Pretty much.
And weed is becoming more and more – basically, I think that kratom is going to become the next weed. it'll be the all-out war on it. Like, just say no to Kratom, kids. Whereas weed is becoming more and more sort of socially acceptable.
Yep. I mean, hell, it's legal in a few places in this country now.
Exactly.
And more by the year, thank God.
Yeah.
Eventually, it'll be 49 states where it's legal, and then there's Tennessee.
No, Tennessee will not be last.
I'm sure it will be. Until the government proves me wrong on that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kratom, powdered Kratom would be probably a good thing to have in your preps. I wouldn't necessarily say bug-out bag. Although, like I said, it is a good, effective painkiller. So maybe you have a couple in the sort of capsule form, because it tastes like horrible fish food, and it's super dry and powdery. So if you try to like just take some, it's going to be a bad day. If you have them capsules, or if you capsulate them yourself with like a pill capper at home, you can do that. So that works. Like I said, you can make a tea, but it's probably not as effective. So yeah, I mean, I'm not giving you medical advice. Mike's not giving you medical advice. We're giving you ideas for things to research and look into, consult your doctor, do your own research, et cetera, et cetera. We always forget to do the disclaimer at the beginning, so yeah. Whatever.
So next on our list is Lignifidom.
Modafinil. This drug I do have quite a bit of experience with in its various affinil forms. Modafinil is I believe, Schedule 3 drug on the narcotic list, which means technically you're supposed to have a prescription to take it. Technically. If you do not want to get a prescription for it and kind of want to try it, you can get the over-the-counter variant, Adrafinil. It is not as strong. It has an extra molecule on it. So when you take Adrafinil, usually in the powdered or pill format, your liver shears off one of those molecules, converts it into modafinil, and then it goes. So it's not quite as strong, but it is cheaper, basically, and legal. Some people tend to bitch that it is rough on the liver and give you elevated liver toxin enzymes or whatever. That was one study that was sort of inconclusive, so your mileage may vary.
You know what? These motherfuckers that say that fucking always complaining about, oh, this drug will fucking do stuff to your liver, and this drug will do stuff to your liver. They say that while their scotch is in their hand.
Right. So that's an easy way to get into it. There are places and ways online via Bitcoin to purchase it without a prescription. If you choose to go that way, I can't advocate it, but I'm telling you it's there. So modafinil was designed to be an anti-narcolepsy drug. And it works. Okay, so actually, the scientists aren't super really sure how it works, but it works on a different mechanism than does caffeine. You know, whereas like caffeine makes you more awake and alert via one sort of neurotransmitter pathway, modafinil works on a different neurotransmitter pathway to keep you awake and alert. Military pilots, like helicopter pilots and plane pilots and stuff, they use the modafinil quite a lot when they need to stay awake and alert.
Yeah.
It tends to be a bit better than amphetamines to, you know, basically stay awake. Sort of a off-label, off-topic use for modafinil is choking up Mike. Besides the alertness, it does keep you awake and focused.
That came out of nowhere.
But on like sort of more subdued level, like you don't take modafinil and then just get jacked up and like go running around. But if you need to take modafinil and like study or do some work, you have that focus back there to turn on.
It gets rid of brain fogginess.
Exactly.
God, I'm dying over here.
Mike is dying. So yeah, I think you can see where I'm going with this being a bug out drug. Any sort of more energy, more alertness, and more focused, and the ability to go on less sleep is beneficial. In a collapse, in a disaster, bug out scenario, having those abilities up your sleeve are beneficial. How are we on time? 44 minutes. let's keep this going. So yeah, modafinil. I think it belongs in your preps, and if you want to take the risk of stashing some in your bug out bag, especially for a like without rule of law type situation, I think that's a good idea. What do we got next, Mike?
marijuana.
Weed. Yeah. Marijuana. Okay,
all right. No, you're going to stop right there. I will accept whip. I will not accept weed.
Weed.
There's no H in there.
Weed. Yeah, so this has a lot of, unlike what the government says, a lot of medicinal benefits.
According to the federal government, there are no medical benefits to marijuana.
Right. It is whatever the harshest schedule of drug is, it is marijuana. It is either one or four, whatever it is, it's on that list.
Fuck the fact that it kills cancer cells.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for a lot of medicinal things. You know, I've seen in some sort of shit hit the fan dystopian novels, people using marijuana recreationally to relax. And in those sort of tough situations that are stressful, I could, at the time I was sort of bashing the character in the book, and I'm like, really? You're out in the no man's land and you're just going to like get stoned? In that situation, maybe not, but
well, you know what? I can see benefits to that. I can honestly see benefits to that. Now, this, okay, from strain to strain and from person to person, marijuana can react differently, okay? In some people, Kevin Smith is a prime example, he smokes weed, and then all of his creative juices starts flowing, and he starts working his ass off. For some people, it'll put you hyper-focused. You see a task that needs done, your brain's just like, hey, that task needs to be done. I should do that task. It can help a lot of people calm down. People with mood problems, like bipolar people, manic depressives, shit like that. It can help as a great mood stabilizer. I mean, yeah, it says, oh, it makes you chill. Well, yeah. But it will actually help a person calm down who's in the fit of a fucking attack of some sort.
Right.
I mean, like I said a minute ago, it fucking kills cancer cells. It's a great appetite enhancer for people that have trouble eating. It has been prescribed for that. It's been prescribed for people that have trouble sleeping. I mean, because it will make
glaucoma is a famous example.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it will help a person get a good night's sleep. There's so many benefits to it.
It's supposed to be good for pain, too. So
it is.
Once again, we're not advocating that you store illegal drugs. If you were in one of the few places where you recreationally purchase marijuana, maybe it would be a good idea to have some or seeds for disaster shit at the fan.
I'm wondering about the laws in like Colorado and stuff, you know, because it was the first state that had it recreationalized, so I always use it as the example. I wonder because, you know, they will allow Colorado residents and even Colorado residents to buy up to a certain amount. Obviously, residents can buy more than out-of-state people. But I wonder what the laws is on buying that shit and then just storing it. That is something I should probably look up.
I kind of doubt they care. There's probably laws on resale to a degree and transporting out of state.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you buy some and just throw it in your, you know, your basement in, you know, a climate-controlled environment, I don't see that being an issue.
No.
Interestingly
enough, I find it funny that actually recreational marijuana has been legalized in California, yet they have no recreational dispensaries yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's legal to have it. You can smoke it recreationally. Good luck finding it.
Right. So, yeah. Weed, I don't really see, besides legality, I don't really see a reason not to have some. I'm not a big personal fan of it, but I can see situations where it would be useful. And no, Bob from the NSA, I do not have any, so don't come raid me. Next up is kind of controversial, and that's painkillers. Painkillers are super addictive, and super overused and abused in the United States. I'm kind of hesitant to recommend that you have painkillers, but in small amounts for certain situations, you know, like if there's not a doctor to go to and you break a leg, chip a tooth, you know, have an open gash,
Migraine headache.
Migraine headache. It would probably be useful to have something stronger than an over-the-counter Tylenol or, you know, Excedrin X strength, whatever.
How hard is it to think clearly when you're in a massive amount of pain? I mean, even if it's not a life-threatening injury. Like, when you came off that tree and fucked your ankle up that time. Ugh. That was fucking painful.
Yeah.
And when you're in that kind of concentrated pain, it's hard to fucking think about anything than, ow, this fucking hurts.
Right, right. If you're in a bug-out situation and you, like, royally twist your ankle or something, having some stronger painkillers to pop, keep going until you get to a place where you can, you know, rest and relax and pop your foot up is a good idea.
I say choose your painkillers very, very conservatively, though, very smartly. You don't want to choose shit that you're going to get fucking addicted to.
Right.
I mean, painkillers are a double-edged sword in that fucking way.
They are. I totally agree. My method in the past has always been anytime I've been prescribed painkillers, I take the bare minimum and store the remainders for future use. And that's worked well for me. Trying to get your doctor to prescribe you painkillers for emergency uses, you know, it can be done. It can be done. I've read a story in sort of pre-work for this of people that go on like sort of off-the-grid ATV camping trips, and they get their doctor prescribe them like, you know, five, you know, in case they break a limb or something. So it can be done. A lot of places, though, will not prescribe you any pain meds for fear of you being a junkie, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can get some in the store, store them, but don't go doctor to doctor asking for painkillers. You'll end up on a list somewhere. The next one's sort of a twofer. Yeah.
Adderall and amphetamines.
Right. Like I said, with the modafinil, having that ability to concentrate is useful. With Adderall, that sort of subtle concentration you get with the modafinil is turned to 11. You will be super focused on the task that you need to complete and will not get distracted and will have all the energy in the world. And that's a basic, it's a basic byproduct of being an amphetamine. And I'm not going to at all suggest you take meth, but a speed like an Adderall, an amphetamine like that, to use in emergency situations makes sense. While doing research for this, I came across basically all the military uses of amphetamines, like, the Germans, like, marching powder that they gave them.
Oh, wow.
And before, you know, before pilots had autopilot, they used this stuff to make long distance flights.
Yeah.
So they'd get jacked up on amphetamines so that they could even perform their job. Of course, the crash after is pretty bad.
Especially if you're a pilot.
Da dump chink. Yeah. So they, once again, the addiction thing kind of comes into play here. There are quite a lot of, you know, side effects to amphetamines and Adderall. But having a small amount to use in certain situations, I can't fault you for.
It's funny, you know? You just so reminded me of the movie Airplane.
I did?
Yeah, Lloyd Bridges' character in the movie, like, periodically throughout the movie, because, you know, all this shit's happening, he's like, looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking. Next time, it's, looks like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Next time, it's like, looks like I looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Oh, yeah.
Then he's like, then it looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that one. So, yeah. You know, a small amount, like, not really good for social situations. So that's something to keep in mind. But if you've got, like, oh, my God, something like if you've got to cut a cord of wood or something, I think taking some Adderall so you could be like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to cut the whole fucking cord right now. As you stay out there the entire day, tweaked out, just you'll have the energy, you'll have the focus.
Have an axe with bloody handprints on it eventually.
You know what? I can only imagine that having the concentration of Adderall while having a sharp instrument in your hands would probably be beneficial. you'd have all the concentration to not make mistakes. Just my personal thought. I've never taken Adderall, but I have done some research on it. So, having that. Lastly, is the probably most illegal, but according to the government, most medicinal used item on the list.
You must buy cocaine.
You know what? I even, like, looked up medicinal uses for cocaine because I knew that the federal government thought that cocaine did have a fair amount of medicinal uses. I had no idea what they were. It is apparently really great as a local anesthesia. Although, I can think of so many things that I would rather have stored for local anesthesia than cocaine.
You think?
If I'm gonna get an illegal drug for a local anesthesia, I'd probably rather get some vials of injectable lidocaine. It's good for its job.
Pure uncut cocaine is also a great clotting agent.
Right. But once again, I would probably rather get QuikClot, or I've heard that cayenne is actually a really good clotting agent. Sounds like a horror. Yes. Powdered like cayenne pepper. Although the idea of pouring cayenne in an open wound kind of makes me cringe.
You think? My skin crawled you just saying that.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the rest of these ones on the list I could kind of make a case for. I just, you know, and even with like the, so like a lot of the ones on the list we're talking about having energy to bug out with and focus. You'll get that from cocaine.
I don't know for how long.
Right. I just, you know, the government has it on the list for good medical uses, but I can make so many arguments that it just shouldn't be on that list. The addiction, the ability to get addicted to it,
the diminishing returns. Your body will build up a tolerance to that shit really fucking quick. That's where fucking crack and cocaine addicts come from.
Right.
You get that fucking first bump and it's like amazing. Then you go for it again, but it's not as good. So you have to do more.
Right. And like we're saying, this is pure cocaine. Where the fuck are we going to find that at? We go to our doctor and say, oh yeah, we're trying to build our medical bug out kit and we kind of want some pure uncut medicinal grade cocaine.
Yeah. No, they won't do that.
Yeah. Like if you went to your doctor, like we said before, tried to talk them into like, pills, you probably have a better chance of that than getting pure uncut medicinal grade cocaine.
No, prescription or medical strength cocaine will only get fucking taken straight into a fucking OR.
Yeah. And if you go out on the street to try to get medical grade cocaine,
you're not going to get medical grade anything on the fucking street.
No. So.
Now, any cocaine you find on the street has been cut with something, usually baking soda or any other fucking powdery substance that your fucking junkie ass dealer happens to find that day.
Like, I've heard drywall is cut with it a lot.
That is horrible.
Yeah. So I have it on the list because yes, it does meet some of our criteria and it is an illegal substance. But I really can't make a good strong case to store it, and I can't even make a good strong like suggestion on how to obtain it.
Yeah.
It's
a big hassle right from the get go. It's going to be a hassle to have it.
Yeah.
All it takes is one fucking Johnny Q Law coming along and like, hey, you have cocaine.
Right. I mean, some of the other ones I could see being able to explain why you have it. Although a lot of these, you are taking a risk by having them. Cocaine, the risk is so much higher and the reward is fairly mitigated.
Yeah.
So I would say pick something else from the list that can do its job at least as good, if not better. You know, caffeine and modafinil will be a better pick me up than, I mean, not necessarily better, but safer and less addictive. I take modafinil, or at least I did, at least when I was on nights to help me out, and certain uses here and there, but I'm certainly not addicted to it. Yeah. I go months at a time without taking it.
There are other much more legal, much more affordable topical agents for numbing and for clotting. So.
Yeah. I mean, the only case where I was really able to think cocaine is probably the best thing for the situation is if in the shit hit the fan, you happen to have to perform nasal surgery on someone, yes, cocaine is a good local anesthesia that works good on the mucous membranes. In that one particular situation, cocaine is good.
Yeah.
Everything else, though, ignore it. I don't even know how you're going to get it. And please don't email me if you know how. Don't even care. and that's all. That's all the drugs for the apocalypse that we have. If you know, obviously, at some point in the future, we'll research and do an episode on the herbal side of things. This is, except for kratom, this is a pretty pharmaceutical list. Even the caffeine, we're mostly talking about a reformed variety of it. So, mm-hmm. You know, and tobacco, I gave you the suggestion of, you know, dissolvable lozenges in a very specific, you know, milligram dosage. So at some point we need to cover the herbal side of this. I tend to lean more towards the herbal side of things in a lot of ways. But chemicals are useful, not to be afraid of, just to be sort of weary of. You know, I don't want anyone to become addicted to anything, but they have their uses. I think that's all. I think it's all this for this episode.
Well, on that terrible disappointment, I guess it's time to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James Sequan Burnett.
And that was the rest of the story.
DIY to do drugs, use guys.
Use guys!